Blog Talk Radio.
Africa, Emotle, Africa, Sir, the beautiful African, is later, Fats Larona, the land is ours, Tigorahina, Shamalashu, Africa, Malcolm X, birthday, 19 May 1925. Very significant was Malcolm's father, L. Little, who was a fiery nationalist Baptist preacher, a follower of Messiah Garvey. Africa, the KKK, Jim Crow, murdered L. Little. Thereafter, the mother suffered a mental breakdown. The family got split. Malcolm ended arrested for burglary, convicted for 10 years, was paroled to Africa in 1952. By that time, when he was paroled, he was a devoted follower of the Nation of Islam, renamed himself Malcolm X, and transformed to the forceful nationalist leader he came to be. The split with the Nation of Islam and thereafter his assassination on 25 February 1965. That happened a week after his home was firebombed on 14 February 1965. The split, as we say, within the black family and how to handle these splits not to be exploited by the enemy, knowing full well the enemy stands by and waits to infiltrate and sabotage the black family unity and insurgency to attaining our global African power, self-reliance and independence. As you say, my Africa, we know that the enemy is always there waiting and something will happen, or because they always do stuff. And to them, it's maintaining power. So my Africa, how to prevent, absorb or manage splits peacefully within the African family, not to open the door for the enemy to infiltrate and derail our movement, Africa, the black movement, our growth and insurgency forwards in terms of development, or infiltrate and sabotage African nation governments. How to handle, absorb these differences peacefully, further to stop the underdevelopment, exploitation, and undermining the individual, Africa's individual human and fundamental rights. Because that's why they always exploit, Africa. You are oppressing your people. The right to intervene, the right to act. So the issue of the individual rights of Africa helps both, helps leadership, helps the nation, and helps Africa. Because as you say that Africa is the center, the citadel of Africa's development, the human capital, is the one that provides brain power and forcefully move development forward. If you stand underdeveloped your own people, you're in trouble. The nation gets static and other nations pass you. And that's a problem that Africa has had most of the time. So the 1950 and 1960 period culminated the global black power resistance and insurgency against Jim Crow in North America, and culminated the anti-apartheid and anti-colonial occupation struggles across Africa. As you know, Africa, the African nations established the OAU, that is Organization of African Unity, on 25 May 1963. Also in 1963, the OAU established the OAU Liberation Committee to spearhead the anti-colonial armed struggle that ended, decapitated, and overthrew the apartheid minority white regime, settler white regime, South Africa in 1994. So Africans did it themselves. They started it, they finished it. Nobody intervened. We did it ourselves. Unheralded, unpublished, unsung, we did it. In Africa, 28 June 1964, Malcolm X established the OAAU, Organization of Afro-American Unity, along the lines of the OAU, to fight, quote Africa in terms of research, to fight for the human rights of African Americans and promote cooperation among Africans and people of African descent in the Americas. Of course, Mafrika, sometimes you've got to use other people's words and you've got to acknowledge its research. So Mafrika, once you establish the OAAU, FBI Director Mafrika, J. Edgar Hoover, described the nascent OAAU as a threat to the national security of the United States. Imagine, Mafrika, imagine. You are pushing development of your own people. You're not even taking arms. You're thinking about self-defense. It becomes a national threat. So, Mafrika, the FBI Director Edgar Hoover, as you say, that described the nascent OAAU as a threat to the national security of the United States. Against the split, Mafrika, with the Nation of Islam, the FBI and the police infiltrated its agents to exploit and escalate the split, monitored Malcolm's every move, and were complicit, Mafrika, in his assassination. And comparatively, Mafrika, at the same time in Azania, South Africa, between 1959 and 1960, the Pan-Africanist Congress, the indigenous paramilitary resistance, BOTO, led an uprising using axes, Mafrika. They used axes, panga, spears, whatever crude instrument they had in hand, they used it, Mafrika, to resist, confront, and attack white minority settlers, police, and agents of the apartheid regime. In Mafrika, more than 100 PAC Boto activists were arrested, convicted, and hung by rope, Mafrika, at the regime's gallows. The regime hung them, more than 100 of them. So Mafrika, many were buried in nondescript holes, piled 2 to 3 bodies or more in one hole, Mafrika. Six among other PAC operatives were the first liberation fighters sentenced and convicted to life imprisonment in 1963. And then we had 21st March 1960, the Pan-Africanist Congress of Azania, South Africa, and its leader, Robert Mangalisa Sobukwe, launched the anti-pass campaign across the nation in Orlando West, Sharpeville, Langa, and other areas of Africa. And the apartheid regime panicked, committed the Sharpeville massacre, killing Africa, shooting 69 Africans to death. The massacre instigated the birth and formation of the Armed Liberation Movement. That is, you had the PAC, Azanian People's Liberation Army, and the ANC, Mkhonto we Sizwe Liberation Army. So, Mafrika, we proceeded. We moved forward. The apartheid regime arrested and sentenced Sobukwe to 3 years jail conviction for sedition and incitement in the anti-pass campaign and the Sharpeville massacre. Overall, Mafrika, the global African resistance against Jim Crow in North America and against apartheid and colonial occupation in Africa, occurred, Mafrika, and converged together. It was a spiritual, physical, metaphysical uprising, Mafrika, and there is no non-communication, joint planning between the two resistances. However, we did it, Mafrika. The African spirits were pushing. That's why, Mafrika, thank the good Lord and thank whoever, because there's something in the meaning of saying that the ancestors are always there. Don't take that very lightly. Today, Mafrika, the year 2016, the black indigenous Africans rule African nations politically, Mafrika, 53 years after the birth of the OAU. And Mafrika, African nations hold political rule and governance, but remain economically occupied, dependent, and exploited. So, Mafrika, managing peacefully the black nation family political disputes and differences. You know, Africa has suffered military coups and counter coups. And Mafrika, these differences planted by the imperialist Mafrika colonialists, they exploited the nation political squabbles, party squabbles, factional splits, rampant corruption, bogus rule, or no rule of law. So Mafrika, it is critical that the African nations uphold the rule of law, Mafrika. Protect the individual, Mafrika. That's your weapon right there. You understand the individual, Mafrika, that's danger to you. They will rise up against you. As you say, the Mafrika, African nations should guarantee the human and fundamental rights of individual Africans. Uphold and protect the human and individual rights of every one African. Do not build elephant infrastructure constructions and state security Without fundamental rights, the people will bend that down like straws. Mafika, Pravin Gordhan, Minister of Finance of South Africa, Mafika, has called on South Africans to protect him and his staff against imminent arrest by law enforcement agencies that are manipulating the law and targeting him with ulterior motives, as he says, Mafika. Now, the maneuver by the Directorate for Priority Crimes Investigations, this is the body that does the police investigations at the high level, called the Hawks, and the National Prosecuting Authority, the NPA, to arrest Finance Minister Pravin Gordhan, was exposed, Mafrika, by one of the Gupta brothers in a business meeting. It happened over a weekend because the imminent arrest was reported in the newspapers last week, Sunday. So, Mafrika, Treasury is one among the last state organs, particularly the judiciary, standing against state capture by the Gupta predators within the state. Mafrika, we maintain that anyone to capture South Africa state, you do what the Guptas did, Mafrika, the Gupta family did. You capture the state president. Once you capture the state president, you've effectively captured 98% of the state organs, except, of course, the courts, Mafrika. That is the Constitutional Court, the Supreme Court of Appeals, the Supreme Court, the Magistrate Court. But all the judicial enforcement organs, Mafrika, the National Prosecuting Authority, the Hawks, the police, the prisons, are all controlled by ministers of police and justice, Mafrika, who are appointees of the president. So Treasury is the only one other state organ standing to resist the Gupta capture. We've said this last week, Mafrika, in our program. And Mafrika, the Minister of Finance called you, Mafrika, to help. What does this call mean to you, Mafrika? And what do you do, Mafrika? What do you do? We say in the program, Mafrika, vote as Mafrika. Just vote as Mafrika. And what does this call, Mafrika, by the Minister of Finance, mean to you, the Member of Parliament, particularly to you, Parliament members of the ruling party majority in Parliament? Very interesting, Mafrika. Many of you have observed, I may be wrong, absent themselves sitting in Parliament when the state president comes in or speaks in Parliament. You are not there. Your numbers are few. Where are you? Now, do you now stay in Parliament simply to occupy or pimp Parliament space? I mean, you are pimping our space and the people's votes. You are doing nothing. And do you occupy Parliament space only to earn a salary? I mean, that's not the people's Parliament. We understand, Mafrika, members of Parliament are afraid to lose their jobs if they vote to uphold their oath and the Constitution. We ask you, Mafrika, stand up. Stand up, Mafrika. Initiate a vote to guarantee parliamentarians' jobs, security, Mafrika, and tenure until 2019. This is against the recall and dismissal, or to be dismissed by party bosses. In case you vote to uphold your oath and the Constitution, they will do that. You say that, no, give yourself protection, job security. It's like the judges. The judges are secured. You can remove them. Let's do the same thing. Let's do the same thing in Parliament, because Parliament is another state, independent, autonomous state organ. Huh? Why can't it be autonomous or be guaranteed or insulated against party bosses? Mafrika, the South African Communist Party. Now, you say that, according to the South African Communist Party, SACP, you say that your senior member head, he was within earshot of the head of Hawks, whispering to some person that his mandate, his new mandate, is to target communists. And you've issued a public statement of condemnation against the head of the Hawks. But to what effect, Mafrika? We are asking, to what effect? You have SACP members. You sit in Parliament, other committees, ministers and deputy ministers in cabinet and parliament. You're right there. You've been there since 1994. Now, are you shedding a crocodile tear in public in disgust of the state capture, but you hold tight to your cabinet and parliamentary seats, obviously to end salary packs and, you know, be able to drive big Mercedes Benzes. Now, you simply make noise, Mafrika, and how, as communist quacks, like our elders used to say, that there are no genuine communists in South Africa. They are not real communists. These are quacks. Now, we are howling, Mafrika, double. Everybody can see your hypocrisy. The question is, Mafrika, what if you, SACP, initiate a vote in parliament to guarantee members of parliament job security and tenure till 2019? Free the members to vote to uphold their oath and the constitution, Mafrika. Do that, SACP. You are all Mafrika. You are Mafrika first before you become a communist. You became a communist. When you grew up, mwana, daughter, son, you are sons of the soil, sons and daughters of the soil. Stop mimicking, squawking like foreign communist quacks, foreign concepts. Let's get real here. Let's take the People's Parliament from these guys and from you too. Help us. We say, Mafrika, only parliament, you SACP, only parliament holds the power to hold the hawks accountable. Parliament holds the power to impeach the head of the hawks, vote the head not fit and proper to lead the hawks. It can happen. Only parliament holds the power to refer the matter to judicial inquest and judgment. Let's not go around in circles. The nation is burning. You are part of the nation. Let's all stand up and develop it. Let's all stand up and protect the sovereignty of the vote, the sovereignty of the country, the sovereignty of the people. Africa, the newspaper to the Communist Party. The newspaper described the head of the hawks as a deranged policeman trying to arrest the finance minister on a charge, espionage, that does not appear in South African law. Of course, Mafrika, the head of the hawks is reported to have written the Minister of Finance, assuring him that for the moment there should be no reason for the minister to be concerned. But why did this happen in the first place? Because they are proliferating, pilfering information to sabotage the state. Now, regarding the state capture, Mafrika, the SACP, your Secretary General, spokesperson, have told, you are telling us, the nation, that the tripartite alliance resolved and declared state capture is a reality in South Africa and must be recognized at the highest level. You said that, Mafrika. But what now? The state president recently just turned back, Mafrika, on that, turned his head on that. And by the way, he's the chairperson of the alliance resolution. He was sitting there. He was presiding over the meeting when this resolution was taken. Now he's arguing publicly that politicians love the phrase state capture, that this is a small thing. This is a small thing. You've got to worry about the big thing. It is just a sound bite and sloganeering by politicians. Yeah, it is a small thing because you got the big thing, the Guptas, the money and whatnot. You keep on taking your money to Dubai. Allegedly, you took $6 billion, carried in your plane. So, yeah, this is a small thing, but this is against our law. This is against our constitution. This undermines our sovereignty as a nation. In Africa, who is fooling whom here? Now, the 27 former civil servants are calling for an independent public inquiry to investigate the Gupta state capture. We are saying to you, Mafrika, the 27 of you civil servants, ask Parliament vote to guarantee members job security against recall and dismissal. Free the members of Parliament to vote to investigate the Gupta crimes against the state. Only Parliament holds the power under the Constitution to subpoena public officials to disclose under oath their dealings with the Guptas or face prosecution. Let's not go around, Mafrika, especially you civil servants. You know better. Parliament has the power. You go to these other people, they are bought and sold to the Guptas. They won't say anything. And how do they voluntarily disclose themselves to put themselves into trouble? You have to subpoena them. Parliament is the only one, but let's get Parliament, those in Parliament, to exercise their vote. Give them job security like you give the judges. Give them security to vote any way they want to. So long as they uphold the Constitution, nobody will touch them. They are protected. Again, Mafrika, the Minister of Finance calls the nation for help. against the Hawks from Africa. And on the flip side, you have the former director of the Hawks, currently dismissed, the former commissioner of the South African Revenue Service, SARS, also currently dismissed, and the head of IPID, the Independent Police Investigation Directorate, suspended. Now, the three accused the Minister of Finance to be a serial violator of the Constitution. And the court rejected the dismissal of SMAFRICA by the minister and suspension of the three former officers. Now, against the court rejections, a court decisions, rulings, the Minister of Police has pushed SMAFRICA. He's been pushing to pay off the contracts for the former Hawks director and the SARS commissioner, pushed them out. He finally did, gave them a golden handshake. But now he's currently pursuing criminal charges against them, against the two. And with the IPID director, Mafrika, he has challenged his suspension in court, constitutional court, to be unconstitutional. He says that suspension was unconstitutional. He argues only parliament, not the minister, holds the power to suspend him as IPID director. The Minister of Police has admitted in court, admitted, Mafrika, that he was wrong to have suspended the IPID director. However, he doubts if the parliament is able to suspend the director within 30 days according to the legislation. Mafrika, all this is public money, legal fees, wasted by the minister only to admit wrong in court. The legal fees, Mafrika, squandered at this critical time on millions of the country's children and leave and go to bed hungry. Mafrika, look, as Mafrika, we are saying, okay, against such serial abuse, we, Mafrika, propose, Mafrika, Parliament to set up the Constitution Oversight Committee, a special oversight committee with powers to hold the executive, cabinet, parliamentarians, all of them, to account against violation of the Constitution and abuse of office. The committee, Mafrika, should hold power to select a judicial committee of legal experts to aid Parliament conduct the impeachment proceedings and to refer criminal prosecution against serial abusers and violators of the Constitution. And point number three, Mafrika, the committee may decide whether government pays frivolous litigation and appeals by public officials, wasting the public money, because they don't pay legal fees, so they are free to appeal. They can appeal frivolously, knowing that they are wrong, and force people to go to court and go to admit in front of court that, no, I was wrong. It don't work. Current and former executive, cabinet, and parliamentarians must be immune from criminal prosecution when executing their mandate and duties under the Constitution, unless impeached by Parliament and referred for criminal prosecution. Pending arrest of the former Minister of Finance, Trevor Manuel, and the current Minister of Finance, Pravin Gordhan, has the potential to undermine the state economic security. And if the report is false, Mafrika, the perpetrators, including the Guptas, should be prosecuted, including the Gupta family, for the leak of the impending arrest. Mafrika, another point, Mafrika, the executive, that is the president, cabinet members, and members of parliament, charged with criminal corruption or similar acts during the term of office, should be subject to impeachment, Mafrika, be dismissed and referred to the criminal prosecution. You know, as you say, Mafrika, again, Mafrika, corruption and criminal acts committed before assuming the executive parliament, the executive cabinet or parliament office. The charges are a matter for parliament impeachment of the accused. And the accused has to vacate the government position and the committee of judicial experts to refer the accused matter for criminal prosecution. So, Mafrika, and the appointee political party in that case may recall and dismiss the accused from the government position. That is a matter outside parliament. That is a party issue. But you're saying, Mafrika, some of these aspects could be looked at. They could be looked at because they're very important, Mafrika. Very critical, very important. As you say, in Africa, without parliament, where do you go? The former public officials, the 27 of you, are wasting time. You're wasting time. You're moving in circles. Strengthen parliament. Parliament is the one that can take a decision on that. Unless you give these people job security. Protect those people and let them vote properly. They will do their job. Because they are worried to lose their jobs. They are worried to lose their jobs. Then they will do their work. Africa, I was listening to radio the other day. A gentleman, a Londoner, he calls himself a Londoner, originally a British citizen from London, of course, and today he's a natural South African citizen and a law professor at University of Cape Town. Now, he's a host to a local radio station, and a listener called Mafrika the other day and asked why the name South Africa simply refers to the country's location in the southern tip of the African continent and not an African name. She asked Mafrika, is it not time to adopt a new unifying name for the country? She said the matter was raised in the past and may be relevant to revisit now that there is rising division and acrimony in the country. Better to adopt a new unifying name. And the host played ignorant, Mafrika. He played ignorant and suggested that the name South Africa is internationally recognized and the brand South Africa Company may be in a better position to revisit renaming the country. In Africa, it is unfathomable. Can you cannot imagine a person who's a constitutional law expert, British, do not know about Cecil John Rhodes, a 17-year-old British boy who docked by ship. He landed in South Africa in 1870, I believe, with £3 in his pocket, loaned by his aunt. I mean, his one big ambition was to establish the name and country, the country and name, under the federal British flag. And he attained his goal in Africa. In 1909, the British Parliament promulgated the name Union of South Africa, and the Cape Parliament adopted the name Union of South Africa in 1910. So in Africa, we maintain that Zania is the indigenous name of the country. The name South Africa is fossilized. The Africanist referred to South Africa. The name South Africa is a fossilized relic of white man's exclusive privilege and prejudices. And it must be scrapped. So there was no country called South Africa. There was no country called South Africa, Africa, before 1909 and 1910. And we have a name for the country. The name of the country is Zania. So before the host came to South Africa in 1994, he was a member of the British Labour Party, active in alliance supporting the African National Congress. He came to South Africa in 1994, joined the ANC, contributing his electionary expertise to elect the ANC to power. Today, he is disgusted with the ANC. And imagine, Mafrika, who is he going to vote, if not a democratic alliance? Now, South Africa's constitution is a democratic apartheid constitution, reinforces minority group rights. It balkanizes the nation into racial voting groups, allows the minority groups political power disproportionate to their population, simply splinters the black majority into splintered and factional political groups. It's happening today in Africa. So according to the newspaper, the British Minister of Defense sent military officers in South Africa who were required to devise a medium-term strategy with concrete deliverances for the ANC to retain power in the next general election. So, Africa, we know that the ANC has collaborated with the British intelligence. You cannot deny it. Of course, you can deny it. But the fact is, Africa, we know for history. So, Isolate, Africa, thanks for the privilege of talking to you. And thanks for the privilege of listening. Thank you.